for this?
Hey there, and welcome to Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW. And welcome to a very special edition of Chomp Talk, a two-hour edition. Chethan Chaudhary, the normal host of the Sports Ramble, is actually out of town on business. My name's Mike Petty. You'll hear me and my friend Doug Santana for this entire two-hour episode of Hockey Talk. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah?
It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's a great two-hour episode of Chomp Talk. We have so much to talk about in this episode. We have two full interviews on tap for you. We have Mark Purdy, a columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. In the first hour, we're talking about, of course, all the Sharks games that have been going on, talk about different NHL news. In the second hour, we have former Shark Mark Smith on the phone. Catch up with him. It's been a little while since he's been on the Sharks. But now we're going to see what he's up to and get his take on a lot of what's going on with this team.
Dude, I'm so glad that you gave me a call after the podcast, because we do our normal podcast, and of course you can hear that shameless plug at www.dudesonhockey.com.
That's right.
But after the podcast, you sent me to Worcester, and then when I got the call that Chethan wasn't going to be here, I got back on the plane and came back to San Jose, and I'm relieved that I'm in the game. But thank God I had Ryan Vesey on that flight, otherwise I would have had no one to talk to.
Do you know
he gets special treatment? He's had so many flights.
That's right.
Not quite as many as Logan Couture, but, you know, free peanuts for the peanut.
I'm sure he gets that nice lounge action at the airport and everything. He gets the whole mess.
Oh, yeah, the Admiral's Lounge. For sure. We totally checked that out.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Gotta love that.
Good guy. Good guy.
Boston to San Jose or Boston to SFO. I'm not sure which flight he's on, but if anybody's on those flights, I'm sure you've seen him quite a bit in the last month and a half.
Do you think he gets to fly first class, or those guys on coach?
I really hope so. Because just recently, in fact, for this last game, was it the Calgary game where they sent him down after St. Louis? He gets to the airport, flies into Boston. They give him a call, has to get on the next flight back to SFO. I think it did say SFO, so now we know where he's going. So he has the extra car ride in, which makes it nice.
Yeah, and then he didn't even get to play.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for flying in, meat.
Yeah. Now you get to sit on the bench.
He didn't even get to sit on the bench. He sat in the luxury box. He's probably on a flight right now as we speak.
Yeah.
Going back to Boston.
That's true.
Speaking of the game that Vesey didn't get to play in, dude, you know, since it's fresh in our minds, we were at the Calgary game. Mike and I both have season tickets to the Sharks, and we were at the Calgary game. Dude, what were your impressions of that game?
It was a really good game. It's a Hockey Night in Canada game. For those of you not quite sure as to what Hockey Night in Canada is, it's basically Monday Night Football times two in Canada. It is a show that gets extremely high ratings, and I might add, your wife was the one that sang the national anthem last night at that game.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I was a nervous wreck.
Double nerves. Hockey Night in Canada for Sharks. Hockey Night in Canada for your wife singing the anthem.
I didn't tell her that it was Hockey Night in Canada.
That's a smart move.
If I had told her, I'm not sure if she would have totally understood how many people that would have been.
Hey, hon, 10 million people are going to be watching you tonight.
It's no big deal. No pressure. And it was a huge game, but she totally nailed it.
Yeah, it's great.
She did a great job. I wish that the Sharks had come through with as great a result as my wife did.
Yeah,
in the anthem.
The Sharks unfortunately did not quite nail it last night. Scored the first goal. It was looking pretty good there for a while because Calgary's been a little bit of a surprise in the NHL this year. I wasn't quite expecting. I thought maybe Vancouver would be the one to do well in that division, but in fact, it's been the Flames that have sort of separated themselves. They have over 30 points right now, and they managed to come out. They weathered a goal from the Sharks, and they came back, tied it, and then scored a goal in the third period, held on for the win. Tough 2-1 loss to the Sharks at home, only their second regulation loss all season long.
I think we knew this was going to be a physical game. We expected that from Calgary. But what I did like about how the Sharks played last night is they came out and tried to dictate the tempo and the physicality of the game right off the bat.
Yeah.
Scott Nichol, in the first, you know, 15, 20 seconds, right? He takes a run at whoever, and you know, he gets tossed.
Right.
You know, offsetting penalties, right? Offsetting minors. Douglas Murray was out to decapitate, you know, Iginla all night.
Yes.
You know, they had a nice little battle going most of the night. Seto had 5 hits. He led the Sharks in hits. He tied for the game with Phaneuf, also had 5. And Phaneuf had someone... you know, pour sour milk in his Wheaties too.
Yeah.
This guy is the future pronger, dude.
Yes. Yes. And I might also add, maybe it is a little sour grapes on my part, but he was getting some pronger calls last night. I saw a couple of elbows that I thought could have been called.
A couple.
At least a couple.
Dude.
Okay, I'm trying to be charitable.
It was a plethora.
A plethora.
Yeah.
And I saw a nice little low cross check to the back of Torrey Mitchell in front of the net last night that easily could have been called. You know, that's a nasty little hit, because when you do low on the lower back, that's actually where your shoulder pads end and your pants sort of begin. There's no padding there. Of course, FNUF knows that, wearing hockey gear. And it doesn't look like that much because it's not a low, you know, usually the lower hits don't look that bad to the fans. But that lower back cross check, I've been on the receiving end of one of those before. It hurts. It hurts big time. And FNUF is not a small person.
I can't imagine getting struck in the back with a piece of lumber.
Yes. Or composite, as it now is.
Yeah. I don't plan on finding out, hey, you know, can we go out in the parking lot? Why don't you strike me with a stick?
Yeah.
You know, if you do that on the street, you're going to the big house.
That's right.
You know, but with the Sharks, dude, were you really disappointed in their effort last night? Or do you think they just ran into an amazing performance by one of the best goaltenders in the world?
Yes. I mean, I think that's exactly what happened. Of course, everyone's allowed to be disappointed at this result because this is a team that people like to measure themselves against. It's a division leader. Sharks didn't come out on the winning side. But as you said, Mika Kiprusoff, ex-Shark, he was the best player on the ice last night, came up with some amazing saves. And one save in particular that I watched the replay of when I got home last night, and Kevin Weeks on Hockey Night in Canada called it, you know, or someone called it maybe the save of the year. It was an amazing save, a shot and a rebound. Scott Nickel lasers back in, goes off the pad, behind Kiprusoff. He picks up his skate behind him, laying on his stomach, managed to get the blade of his skate on just before crosses the line and kicks it out. An amazing acrobatic save. And as Kevin Weeks said on Hockey Night in Canada, it was absolutely on purpose. And that was absolutely what he was trying to do. Just unbelievable save.
Great performance by Kipper. And, you know, overall, a good performance by Nabby, too. Unfortunately, on the first quarter, you know, he was a little deep in his net.
Yeah.
Got beat on the glove side.
That was a weird goal. It was almost like he wasn't expecting that shot to come at him at that point. And he was a lot deeper. Usually you see Novikov challenge shooters as much or more than any other goaltender in the National Hockey League, well inside the blue paint in the crease, and that's not a place I'm used to seeing Nabby in. It was a good shot by Jokinen, you know, props to him, but unfortunately, if Nabby was probably where he wanted to be when that shot left Jokinen's stick, he would have made that save. It would have looked routine.
I don't think Nabby thought Jokinen was going to shoot it.
Yes.
I mean, Jokinen was a very odd angle. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like one of those shots that we're used to seeing from Mike Greer last year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Greer would just throw the token shot to the net from the off-angle shot by Greer.
That's right.
I don't miss those this year, by the way.
No, not at all.
Usually, most of the shots here are actually taken with the purpose of scoring.
Oh, well, yeah. Shoot when you mean to score, shoot when you don't.
Shoot when you don't. Just shoot for the pure joy of shooting.
That's what Jokinen did.
No, Jokinen delivered a laser and he beat him. And then, you know, second goal by Langkow. That was a bit of a breakdown in coverage, huh, dude?
Yeah, I mean, couple Sharks behind the net. Lanco literally between the faceoff dot. I mean, that is prime scoring position. Nobody within 4 or 5 feet of him gets the puck on his stick. Lanco gets it off his stick in a hurry, which is the right thing to do in that situation. Nabby's looking right, he's looking left, he's looking behind the net. The point isn't there to find your corner and pick it. The point is to get the puck on net as quickly as you can. Lanco did, got high over the stick side, and that put, you know, only less than 4 minutes into the third period, and now the Sharks are, you know, now we got to score. And with a big 4D of Calgary, that's not an easy task against these Flames.
Even with Saric not in last night, you know, Giordano played well. You know, they got good performances from guys who needed to deliver. And when Calgary goes up 2-1,
yeah,
that's really tough, because basically, you know, at the end, when the Sharks were really trying to put a press on and get into their own zone, they couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Bouwmeester, 28 minutes of ice time last night. FNUF, 26:54. Between those two guys, there's one of those two guys on the ice for almost the entire game, and both of those guys are all-world defensemen right now. It's a good pickup for Calgary, getting Jim Bouwmeester. I had sort of forgotten, not seeing him. He was on Florida Panthers last year. Not seeing him much, you forget how big of a dude that guy is.
He's big.
He is dude big.
Yeah, Semenov with skill.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Semenov size.
But he's bigger than, I mean, he seemed, you know, he's bigger than Semenov, wider than Semenov.
He skates
more
well.
Mobile. More, yeah, it's ridiculous how good this guy is.
I think my opinion of Calgary has changed, obviously, you know, seeing them in person and the success that they're having. I thought they weren't going to have enough scoring to get it done. You know, even though last night there were only three goals scored total between the teams, they've been scoring a lot of goals,
yeah.
You know, and they've had a lot of success. And you can certainly see that they're not going to be a team that you're going to want to face in the playoffs. And they seem to definitely have the inside track on that division. And
yeah.
They're going to be there near the end, dude. Ron Sutter is a good coach.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult opponent, regardless of when you run them. You know how the Sutters like to run their teams. You know, they start from back out. Good defense, good goaltending, the whole thing. So here's the stat we don't like to hear. 0-2-1 against division leaders in the West.
Oh.
That's going to be the stat to talk about all night. You can call us at 1-800-516-1220. Get your take in. Next segment, we're talking to Mark Purdy, so you might have to wait till the bottom of the hour to talk to us about it. But next up, Mark Purdy. Then we'll be talking about that particular record, which we don't like so much. We'll be talking about the return of Chichu and Mahalik. All that and more coming up next on Chom Talk on AM 1220 KDOW.
Eleven Grammy Award-winning singer Toby Lindsay and lead singer for the guitar legend Carl Santana will perform for Digital Arts December 10th at 6 p.m. Toby Lindsay is heard on such hit albums as Milagro, Shaman, Ceremony, Food for Thought, Ultimate Santana, Multidimensional Warrior, and Supernatural. In addition to terrific music, Thursday, December 10th's benefit features a sumptuous buffet donated by local chefs. This benefit will support the Emory Ed Fund, which supports critical resources for youth and families in the Emoryville schools and supports much-needed programs such as music, arts, student scholarships, grants for teachers, and other unfunded needs. The benefit concert is Thursday, December 10th at 6601 Shellman Street in Emeryville. Doors open at 6 p.m. for the free munchies and beverages, and the concert starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at emoryed.org or call 510-601-4911. 510-601-4911.
The November election results prove that America is ready to hear straight talk about the issues that matter. Glenn Beck's new book, Arguing with Idiots, debunks myths about everything from imagination to healthcare. And you can get Glenn Beck's book free with a subscription to Town Hall Magazine. Each month's edition is loaded with must-read stories about the conservative movement in America. It makes a great gift. For Glenn Beck's book free with your subscription, log on to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
Have you applied for Social Security benefits? Want a quick and easy way to check the status of your application? You can check the status of your pending application online, even if you applied the old-fashioned way in person or over the phone. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov and select the Check the Status of Your Application link on the upper left-hand side. Enter your Social Security number and the confirmation number given at the time of the application. It's that easy. Instant status at www.socialsecurity.gov.
Welcome back to the Chom Talk radio program. I'm Mike Petty, sitting across from Doug Santana.
Dude, it's good to be here, dude.
Special two-hour Chom Talk tonight. Chethan Chaudhary is out on business, so you and I get the run of the place without hockey.
Anything else I'd rather be doing on a lovely Sunday evening, dude.
That's right. That's right. Couldn't get Mark Purdy on the phone, so I'm going to ask you to pretend to be Mark Purdy, and I'm going to ask you the question.
All right. Now, I do know that he was flying back from Louisiana. Mark had told me that he was there for the San Jose State Louisiana Tech game. Can you imagine having that be something that you had to go watch? Because San Jose State lost 55-20.
Oh, see, I don't follow college football that much, so yeah. That could not have been pretty.
No. So, you know, it is possible that his flight was delayed, so I don't want to dig into our friend Mr. Mark Purdy too much, but,
no.
You know, hopefully we'll hear from him at some point during the show, dude.
And we'll put him on, and we'll...
Absolutely.
We'll ask about him. He wrote an interesting article, I believe it was last week, about the Danny Heatley trade, so that's something we can ask him about. So now's the time to get the callers in. The number is 1-800-516-1220. Call in, Sharks, NHL in general, whatever's on your mind about this team, about the Calgary game, about what's coming up, about what the Sharks need to do this season to win the Cup, all that stuff, totally fair game, 1-800-516-1220.
Now, since my favorite show on TV is Glee, which I know is a very odd combo for a hockey fan,
yes,
but I'm still cool. Dude.
Jury's out on that.
Dude.
Sorry.
Let me finish.
Okay.
All right. So there was a lot of drama. There's always a lot of drama on Glee because it's about a Glee club and drama kids. But there was a lot of drama this week.
Yes.
With Chichu and Mahalik returning to the tank, dude.
That's right.
For a little Ottawa Senators, San Jose Sharks action. What did you think of the fans' reception of two former fan favorites, dude?
It was funny. Chathan and I talked about it on last week's show. He asked if I would clap for him. Of course I would. I did clap for them. I thought there might be a standing ovation, and there wasn't. So I have to say, maybe it was a little bit more subdued than I expected. These were guys that had been in the San Jose Sharks organization for a long time. Chichu especially was beloved. The whistles were out. But there wasn't a... The momentum to stand for these two players wasn't there. I guess, you know, the game was still going on and all that, but still, I thought there might be a little bit more outpouring of affection, but, you know, it was sort of a par for the course for an ex-Shark. They got their due. The fans were gracious, as they always seem to be in San Jose, which is nice to be a part of, and then we proceeded to beat them, so that was even better.
No acknowledgement from Cheech either when they put his face up on the screen. I thought he might just give a little head nod or maybe a little salute or, you know, get up and dance a little jig.
Well, I think he had 4 points at the time, dude. It's game face.
I know. Well, ironically, since leaving the tank in his last two games, he's had 3 points.
Yeah.
So
almost doubling his season total.
Whatever.
I hate to say.
Maybe he went to Original Joe's and got his favorite ravioli. And then he should have been eating that ravioli when he was playing for the Sharks. But the Ottawa Senators, you know, with Mahalik, with Chichu, you know, they sort of have designs on being a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. What sort of impression did they make on you?
Not much. I expect, you know, the thing with Ottawa is there's not a whole lot top to bottom on that team that is out and out impressive, other than the Milan Mahalik goal. I thought the Milan Mahalik goal was actually quite nice. I sort of found myself wishing that he'd do that a little bit more. When he played for the Sharks, it seemed like he really picked his spots, making those power moves and those speed moves to the outside. And he was particularly successful on that with the Senators. But you look at the Senators team, and they just don't have the horses to really, if they make the playoffs, they're going to lose in the first round. You know, there's not much, it's not that they have nothing going for them, but they certainly don't have enough to compete with the best in the East, like Washington and Pittsburgh. And a struggling Flyers team, and Buffalo, and Boston, and these—they're in a slightly different league. And what can you say? How the mighty have fallen. This is a team that was in the Cup Finals only a few years ago, and now they really seem to be struggling a little bit.
Does someone want to tell Alex Kovalev that there's a game going on too? I mean, talk about sleepwalking.
Yeah.
That guy's got to be, I mean, he's up there with, you know, I guess Zverev kind of has that rap.
Yes.
Alexei Yashin.
Yeah,
you know,
well.
I mean, well,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of that, dude, but Kovalev, just funny watching him play or basically not play.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't seem to get anything done. I had to laugh. I saw actually some ridiculous rumor from being traded to the Anaheim Ducks.
Wow.
Well, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. I can't imagine that would make the last place Ducks any better.
No. No, I mean, that's sort of, you know, the final nail in the coffin, I suppose. The Senators, will they make the playoffs, dude?
7 or 8 maybe at the outside. That's all I can say about this team. I mean,
so they're just basically chum for like the Penguins or the Capitals.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. I mean, with Alfredson, I mean, Alfredson's a great player. Loved it. He's a guy you'd love to have on your team. He just doesn't have the supporting cast. I mean, Jason Spezza, a top line center that people expected to be in the same sentence as Joe Thornton, is no longer even in the same paragraph as Joe Thornton. I mean, this is not a guy that people think about when you think about elite playmakers in the NHL. Mark Savard has certainly jumped ahead of him. No question about that.
You mean Spets is not going to be on Team Canada?
No. I'd say he's probably 8th or 9th in centers for Team Canada. He's not close, right?
Senators are a team that's really in transition, right? Because they've got a lot of decisions to make coming up in the offseason. Phillips, I think, is unrestricted.
Yeah.
Volchenkov is unrestricted.
Wow.
You know, Kovalev is a non-factor and unrestricted. You know, they'll have a decision to make about Chichu as far as where they're going to buy him out, or maybe he's going to come out of it a little bit here and be a productive player. I mean, they really need him to be, but, you know, for the team like the Senators, you know, they're in a bad spot. I think what we feared last year is that the Sharks were going to maybe turn into the Senators,
mm-hmm.
be a team that's just was built to win now and then didn't win, and now they're just sort of fizzling along with no identity.
Right. right? And I mean, this is a team. I mean, the D is the best part of the Senators. I mean, you mentioned Phillips and Volchenkov.
Kuba.
Yeah.
Picard. They've got some decent players back there. Chris Campoli, I think, is injured.
Yeah, he was a good player, actually, for the Islanders last year. Go figure. But, yeah, but the forward core, you see guys like Mike Fisher not scoring. Maybe he's just having too much fun with the country singer that I can't remember
her name. Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Mike Fisher and Carrie Underwood, an item.
That's hot.
Yeah, it's good.
That's good. Good for him.
Good for him.
Hockey players seem...
So, good for... Well, yeah, she's got good hockey players, good taste.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean. I don't mean
Mike Fisher.
I don't know Mike Fisher at all, so I couldn't tell you if he's.
It's almost a very awkward moment here.
Quality stock or not, but I think we should get off the subject as quickly as possible.
So, I mean, you know, we were going to talk to Mark Purdy about this, and you know, if we do hear from him, we'll bring it back up. But the Heatley trade, we talked a little bit about it on the blog.
Yeah.
This week, he categorized it as a no-brainer, dude.
Mm-hmm.
No-brainer
win for the Sharks.
Right.
No-brainer win for the Sharks.
So you still believe that that's true?
I mean, the fact that...
As I'm sitting here with a giant smile on my face.
With that
but
smile.
Talk about the Ottawa fan position here a little bit, because I don't quite get it.
Yeah, the fan position, or at least the position of one columnist that I read, I believe, in the Ottawa Sun, was that this trade cannot be graded until we see how these teams do. Like, for instance, if the Sharks make it to the playoffs, have another disappointing exit, we've all heard that story before, then it's not a good trade for the Sharks. And if Ottawa manages to make the playoffs with Mahalik maybe leading this team in goals, then it's been a good trade for them. I get you want to have the glasses half full kind of situation if you're an Ottawa fan. To me, that's not a way to grade a trade. You grade a trade based on the players that you got versus the players that you gave up. And right now, there's no question that San Jose got the better end of that deal. Healy scoring more than those two players combined. I mean, case closed, right? Isn't this done?
Yeah, I think I do see their point a little bit as far as, you know, if Ottawa goes to the Stanley Cup Finals and the Shark lose in the first round again, you'd have a hard case, you know, saying that, you know, the better end of the trade wasn't had.
And Mahalik wins the Conn Smythe trophy. And,
but
you know,
we all know. And then, you know, Snow White wakes up.
Right.
And
pigs fly.
You know, and pigs fly. And,
right.
You know, all these wonderful things. And, you know, the Titanic didn't sink. So that's not going to happen, dude. There's just no way that's going to happen. I think that, you know, they're also bringing up the second round pick. Well, what about the second round pick? What if we get a great player? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for you. You know, a lot of what ifs there. I'd rather have Danny Heatley right now. He's going to take the Sharks deeper and give us a better chance to win than Mahalik or Chichu would have done.
Yes.
I mean, and there's no doubt about that to me.
Right. And it certainly seemed like Doug Wilson made some hard decisions in the offseason about who are the players that he wants, who are the players that he doesn't want. And it seemed pretty obvious that Chichu and Mahalik were players that he didn't want for whatever reason.
Yeah, there seemed to be a list, and I think the three guys whose names were at the top were Chichu, Mahalik, and Aronoff.
Mm-hmm.
And
guess what?
And they're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
You know, and those were the guys who were under contract. So, you know, we may, and I put this out there to the listeners as far as, you know, as we're talking about things that the Sharks can do to get better. Who do you think's the player that maybe is on the roster right now who's next on that list?
Yeah.
Who's number four? You know, as far as things to solve or on the naughty and nice list, who's on the naughty list still?
Yeah.
At top of Santa Wilson's list.
That's right.
Who's getting coal in their shark stocking?
That's right. In the electric blue teal stocking.
That's right. Can I ask you this, Tune?
Yeah.
If we were going to go back to this trade, and you know, initially, you know, they wanted Joe Thornton for Healy, you know, which was hilarious. You know,
right.
And, you know, Brian Murray also is performing at the Ottawa Improv, and, you know, two drink minimum, you know, for making a call like that.
Yeah.
So
if that's true.
If it's true, right. And it might not be.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Dude, would you make this same deal? Like, what makes this deal so delicious? Was it the fact that we got rid of Chichu and his bad contract? Or is the fact that we got Heatley? Let's say the deal was Klo and Mahalik for Heatley. Would you still be happy?
Happy? It'd certainly be much more of an even up trade, that's for sure. I mean, Klo's come on fire, assuming he'd have the same production with the Senators this year as he does with the Sharks. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty close to even up because, you know,
but then you still got Chichu.
That's right, and you still got Chichu. So that's it makes it a difficult situation because Chichu is sort of the Brad Lukowicz of the trade in that it's a guy that maybe isn't quite worth the money that he's getting. And Washington, to get a guy like Mahalik, who is a top six forward, no doubt, for a pretty reasonable contract figure for a number of years. They had to take a guy like Chichu, who doesn't have a reasonable contract figure.
The trade's so exciting that they had to take out the trash, basically.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Chichu, although I guess I just called it
trash. You kind of did, yeah.
No, I meant it with love.
Yeah, right. You can't unring the bell, but you meant it with love anyway. Good for you, dude.
I'm just here to speak the truth, dude.
That's right.
And unfortunately, you know, Chichu not producing, still not producing in Ottawa, but
right.
I really hope he snaps out of it.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he snaps out of it. I'd love to see him revive his career. And hey, Senators, Sharks in the Stanley Cup Finals? I'd pay to see that.
I'd pay to see them play anyone in the Stanley Cup Finals, but the Senators? Sure, why not?
Hey, we'll take anybody at this point, because yeah. Our Stanley Cup pick from the Eastern Conference hasn't exactly turned out to be coming up roses right now.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be talking more about other NHL news later in the show, but just to get you some fodder for jokes at our expense, Doug and I both thought the Philadelphia Flyers could be going places this year.
And we put money where our mouth was.
Yeah. And right now, that's not looking so hot.
Dude, it's early. It's early.
Okay.
Hey, and you know, I mean,
over a third into the season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to, can I throw something out at you while we're kind of semi on this topic?
Sure.
Dude, who went to the Stanley Cup Finals and won last year?
That would be the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Right. Yes. Who's their coach?
Dan Bylsma.
Yeah. When did he start coaching the team?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're
saying. Okay.
January.
Who did they play in the Eastern Conference Finals?
That would be the Washington Capitals.
No, Carolina Hurricanes.
That's right.
Who was their coach?
Paul Maurice.
When did he take over?
Pretty late.
Do you see where I'm going?
I think I do.
Who was the Cinderella story the year before? Washington Capitals.
That's right.
With their coach?
Bruce Boudreau.
Mr. Potato Head.
That's right. Bruce Boudreau took over in the middle of the season.
Okay, dude. So I think point received, point well made, 2 points for Doug.
And I think you just advocated for firing Todd McClellan and bringing in a new coach.
Dude, I absolutely did not say that.
All right. I'm just saying. I mean, that's...
Does anyone have John Stevens' number?
Yeah.
No.
I hear he's available.
No, dude. We're absolutely not at that point yet.
Absolutely not.
No. And I mean... You know, I wouldn't even know where to find Kevin Constantine at this point.
That's true. Actually, I thought he was juniors.
Bring him back.
Could. Or not.
Full circle.
Maybe. Yeah.
Who was the first coach of the San Jose Sharks?
George Kingston.
Nice.
Yeah. Drew Remenda, assistant coach of that team.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely.
Didn't he work with the goalies?
No.
Work with the D?
Yes. I don't quite remember how that all went down.
Well, we'll have to maybe Drew will call in when Mark Purdy does.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure Drew's got the number. He's dialing as we speak. He's going to be calling anytime. Anyway, so I think we've beat the Ottawa thing pretty much to death.
Sure.
Chichu Mihalik, it's good to have him back. You know, we should, let's move on. St. Louis, another loss. Unfortunately, not.
So. No, I mean, you know, what is the phrase? Always be closing, dude.
Yeah.
Another game where, you know, the Sharks are up and then they cough it up.
Yeah.
Another shorty, dude.
Yeah.
Another shorty. And this, you know, it seemed to be, I guess you should get them all out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Calgary had a lot of opportunities shorthanded last night, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's something in the way the Sharks are playing that they need to adjust the style that they're doing on the power play. Maybe they're too aggressive. Maybe the D is pinching in too much, dude.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
7 seconds left.
Because one-on-one is not Nabby's forte.
No, I wouldn't
That's not his thing, dude.
No.
We see, you know, by his terrible, you know, percentage in the shootout, although yeah. He's not the worst. I looked that up this week.
I think it's Luongo and Jaguar are pretty bad.
Ooh, I think the worst is actually Steve Mason.
Okay.
He's like in the four, like he's like 40% or something.
Wow.
Like Nabby's like 67%.
Yeah,
You know, which he's about, you know, in the lower half.
Right.
But the best... Ryan Miller. Ryan Miller.
Probably the USA national team goalie in this Olympics in Vancouver in February.
So who's the other goalie? Tim Thomas?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I would say so.
And then being backed up by like someone random?
Yeah, Craig Anderson?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's probably a good choice.
Yeah.
Not entirely random.
Not entirely random. So, yeah, there's plenty of USA-born and bred hockey players that can make this happen.
Yeah, the St. Louis game, I was, you know, so disappointed in the result that I tried to block it out of my mind completely.
Mm-hmm. But this is a team that gave us problems last year.
Yeah, they sure did. And I still think, even though they're struggling right now, and they're, you know, I read something about how, you know, Andy Murray's kind of lost the team. I still think they're a dangerous team. They've got some good veterans. They've got a good mix of young players. They get good goaltending sometimes from Chris Mason. They're going to be in the mix near the end.
Yeah.
They'll kind of be alive. That might be a team, too, that maybe they're going to look at the Philadelphia situation and see what's going on. And, you know, the name that I saw floated today is, you know, maybe Bob Hartley is someone who could come in to the
St. Louis
situation and give them a little bit of a jolt. You know, we've seen the effect that has on teams. You know, if you're looking for a Western Conference team that that's had a good effect on, look what Dave Tippett's done for the Phoenix Coyotes.
That's right.
I mean, we really thought they were going to be a joke this year.
And for all intents and purposes, they should have been. But Dave Tippett came in.
They're a playoff team right
now. Yeah, and maybe, you know, although Dallas isn't doing so bad.
They're the eighth seed. They would be our first round opponent right now.
Ugh.
But, you know, if you look at the talent that's on Dallas compared to the talent that's on Phoenix, mm-hmm. it's not even close. I mean, yeah. Dallas has way more toys to play with.
Yes.
And Phoenix, you know, he's you know, out there inspiring Adrian Acoin to, like, go out there on two bad knees and lay it all on the line.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys, you know, they're not doing it with their kids. I mean, they sent a lot of their kids down. They sent Tikhanov back over to Russia.
That's right.
In the KHL.
San Jose's own Victor Tikhanov.
Right. And they have a couple other players that are back playing in the AHL that they deemed not ready to be playing, whereas Gretzky was just throwing the kids out, you know, whether they were ready or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's really relying on some of these veterans, some retread guys. And, you know, will Phoenix be there at the end? Probably not. But, you know, talk about maximizing what you're going to get out of a team.
Dave Tippett hockey. I got to say, that might have been the most boring game of the year, the Phoenix game versus the Sharks. That was a lot of trap, a lot of neutral zone turnovers.
And we get to watch it again this week.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
Awesome. At least it's at Phoenix, so I can, like, TiVo it and fast forward.
With the St. Louis game, dude, there was a little bit of interesting trivia on this.
Oh, yeah?
After the game on Friday, I saw on David Pollock, the beat writer for the Sharks for the San Jose Mercury News, posted a link to a video of Keith Tkachuk, you know, whose nickname is Walt, you know, skating around at the Sharks ice practice facility.
Right.
And he joined a pickup hockey game, dude.
Yeah. You know what's even crazier than that story is the fact that a friend of mine that I know that I play hockey with was playing in that very pickup game.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he put something on his Facebook page or something about how he made a race to the puck against Keith Tkachuk. And
it's all on video.
That is so cool.
He was out there for probably a total of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny that most of the St. Louis players were behind the glass.
Like ripping him.
Oh, yeah. You know, ripping him. There's a few unmentionables that I can't say on the air that you can hear them saying. But, you know, he was back checking at one point and they were yelling at him, you know, why don't you do that during the game? And, you know, oh, look, Walt finally made a pass. You know, he's not going to shoot it. And he's wearing number 7 out there. And you can hear it's attributed to Blues forward David Backes yelling out, you know, number 7 is the worst guy out there.
So
they certainly were in a joking mood after beating the Sharks on Thursday night, which is disappointing.
But yeah,
it's kind of fun to see. You know, hockey players get a good reputation for being kind of lighthearted.
Right, and I'm sure every player that was on that just happened to be playing pickup that day, including my friend. I'm sure, you know, that's a story that's going to stick with them for a long time. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to do, if only for, you know, a couple of minutes. Hey, I was actually on the ice skating against Keith Tkachuk or whatever it was. I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff. This guy's one of the best U.S.-born hockey players ever.
Absolutely. I was playing pickup basketball when I was at Santa Clara University in the gym. And after the game that I was playing in, Steve Nash comes walking on the court.
Santa Clara University-owned.
To play pickup hoops. And, you know, my team lost, so I didn't have to go in and play against him. But... and I'm actually glad, because it just would have been a good story. But it was him and another guy who played for Santa Clara. His name was Drew Zurich, and it was pretty funny. I mean, you know, and he wasn't really taking it easy on the on the other.
He was like dunking over people.
Yeah, no, well, dunking really wasn't his thing. But you know, he was bombing away, and you know, showboating a little bit, but everybody was having a good time.
Was he wagging the finger like Dikembe Mutombo?
No, I didn't have the Dikembe wag, but you know, I guess we've all got our good brushes with fame. Dude.
Well, I'm glad we've come full circle all the way to Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, well, that's what we're here for.
Next segment, we're going to be talking more Sharks, talking NHL news, situations, trade ideas, what this team needs, all that and more coming up. You can call us at 1-800-516-1220. Thanks for listening to the Chomp Talk radio program at AM 1220 KDOW.
The best age for your child to learn to read is during the first 5 years of life. Kathleen discovered this fact firsthand.
A friend of ours recommended the Your Baby Can Read series when we had our first child, Jacob. Never thought anything of it. We plopped him down in front of it.
Your Baby Can Read worked amazingly well.
When Jacob was 3 years old, he was reading at second grade level. He turned five in July, went to kindergarten, and in 3 weeks he was moved to first grade.
Kathleen knows it's no coincidence.
Because we have three children and all are reading on a high level, school is very easy. Straight A students, maybe one or two children, but all three, probably a successful video. So bam, it worked.
Did Kathleen have to work at it?
No, I didn't have to do a thing. Your Baby Can Read definitely gives them a life skill that can never be taken away from them. It's been invaluable.
For a limited time, you can receive a completely risk-free trial of the Your Baby Can Read program. Call now and we'll also include three free learning gifts with your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-676-1070. 800-676-1070. 800-676-1070.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to the Chomp Talk radio program on AM 1220 KDOW. It's a special two-hour program today with myself, Mike Petty. Across from me is Doug Santana.
What's up, dude?
We are Dudes on Hockey at dudesonhockey.com. Standard programming with Chaitin Chaudhary will return next week. He is out on business this week.
Sounds so secretive.
It is. It's so serious.
Oh.
I don't even know what it is.
Well, good for him.
I'm sure.
I hope he gets his business done.
I hope it happens. I hope it happens in a good way for Chaitin.
Dude, it's kind of a rough night last night for the Sharks, you know, dropping a 2-1 game to Calgary, but no one's having a worse week than Tiger Woods.
That's true.
I mean, you know, you got to put it in perspective a little bit.
That's right. It could be worse.
Whew, doggy.
We could all be driving Escalades into fire hydrants.
Well, I don't even know if the car accident is the worst thing that happened to him.
No, certainly not.
Oh, man. Have you heard that, the voicemail he left for the...
Yeah.
For his girlfriend?
I've actually heard a cool, like, remix.
I've heard that, too, where it sounds like...
It's like a song. On YouTube.
Hey, it's Tiger. Could you take your name off your voicemail? Thanks. He says something like, do me a solid, or like, what is it? He says, it's so bad.
Dude, this is a hockey show.
Okay, I'm putting it into perspective as far as if we're feeling low.
Right.
There's someone out there who's feeling lower.
That's right. And despite a tough loss to Calgary and an overtime loss to St. Louis this week, the Sharks are still on top of the NHL in terms of points with 43, although Pittsburgh and the Washington Capitals are nipping at their heels, only 1 and 2 points behind. So this is a team that's pretty close. It's hard to come up with a huge number of flaws for this team being first in the NHL and all, but this being radio, this being talk radio, sports radio, and us being diehard hockey fans, that means we still have to talk about what could make this team better. And how do we compare the Sharks teams to the other great teams in the West? Unfortunately, which, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Sharks are 0-2-1 against Western Conference division leaders this year. That means Calgary and Chicago. So What does Calgary and Chicago have that we don't have? What's the difference between our San Jose Sharks and those teams?
Let me think about it for a second. Better defense.
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought for a while.
The elephant in the room has been exposed. Dude, it's clear that the Blackhawks and the Flames have a better top four set of blue liners than the Sharks do. Mm-hmm. You talk about them, you know, you go, okay, Chicago's got Campbell, Seabrook, Keith, and Barker.
Right.
And Calgary's got Sarich, Regier, Bomeister, and Phaneuf.
That's right.
Okay. And then the Sharks have Murray, Boyle, Vlasic, and Blake.
That's right.
So that doesn't quite stack up.
No.
I got to say, you know, Murray, while he may have been a question mark going into the beginning of the year, he's not a question mark anymore.
No.
I don't think I trade him really for much of... you'd have to offer me something unbelievable mm-hmm. to get me to give up Douglas Murray at this point. Because he's well-priced, and he's playing like a number two.
He is. Well, he's certainly playing like a shutdown kind of guy. You know, sort of since being a Sharks fan for a long time, I compare shutdown defenseman to Scott Hannon, who is still in the league with Colorado. And... So, you know, how does Doug Murray compare with Scott Hannon? Well, he's a lot more physical, for one.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously more so.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't say he's quite the skater, but he did a great job on a Ginla on Saturday night.
He's done a great job all year.
Right.
And I would say, you know, if you're comparing him against Seabrook mm-hmm. and against Regier, I think he stacks up.
Yes.
He stacks up.
I don't know if I would necessarily, I don't know if they would be happy with that trade straight up for either of those guys, but he's certainly in the conversation with Seabrook. And Robin Regier.
I would rather have Murray than Seabrook.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
Just due to the pure physicality of it. I mm-hmm. think that, you know, if you have Murray back there, your head is up.
Yes.
You have to be aware of it, and it's going to make you think twice, three times, four times before you're going to go in the corner.
Even if you're going to check him when he has the puck, he is very adept at that get rid of the puck and then hit you before you can hit him kind of thing, which he pulled on a Ginla.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
He loves that.
And it's awesome when you're throwing 245 pounds behind it. I mean, it's, you know, I saw Donald Brashear bounce off him earlier in the year. It's ridiculous how big and tough Douglas Murray is. So he's definitely the one that is meeting or exceeding expectations right now. So who amongst those top four would you say isn't meeting those expectations?
Well, I think, you know, the finger must be pointed at Vlasic and Blake. And, you know, Blake hasn't been around, you know, played enough games to maybe fully evaluate what his contribution this year is going to be to the team. But he hasn't been contributing much offensively, mm-hmm. you know, so far. He's really struggled, dude, as far as to be able to join in and be part of the offense. You know, Rob Blake has 7 points in 20 games.
Right.
You know, which is not terrible.
No.
But that's not great. And Vlasic has 9 points.
Right.
You know, which I suppose that's, you know, acceptable. Mm-hmm. But on the other end, you know, these guys are playing the second and third amount of minutes on the team. You know, Vlasic's playing 23 minutes. Blake's playing 21 minutes a night. And I'm not sure that without replacing one of them or having one of them move back down to the third pairing that the Sharks are going to be able to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, when we talked about in the offseason what the Sharks needed to do, and we talked to ESPN's EJ Raddick on the podcast, you know, and the first thing he identified is the Sharks need to get a legitimate number two defenseman.
That's right. And that's one thing the Sharks unfortunately did not do. They did some other great moves by getting Scott Nickel and Manny Malhotra and Jed Ortmeier. They definitely shored up the third line and the fourth line, and some of those young guys have definitely filled in and done an admirable job in that role, but they did not do what EJ Raddick thought they maybe should address, and that's get a number two. So,
but I don't think the shop is closed for business, do you?
No.
I think Doug Wilson's on the phone. I think he's got to be looking at these last couple games, especially, and wondering, you know, okay, we're 0-2-1 against Calgary and Chicago. What's the difference here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they better than us? You know, last night, I think the game could have gone either way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that game was
Chicago
really close.
Game in Chicago. We were in that game.
Yes.
You know, we actually coughed it up, right?
Right.
And then, you know, the game where we just got completely blown out.
Right.
You know, at home, embarrassed against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might be able to write that one off as being a fluke. And then last night as being, it could have gone either way. And the other one in Chicago, well, it could have gone either way. So maybe we've just been on the, you know, the bad side of Lady Luck. But, you know, I think the Sharks have to be looking at who's available right now mm-hmm. and capitalizing on, you know, where's the Sharks' strength right now, dude?
Well, forward depth, obviously. They got a lot of young guys We're going to be talking about the future of the Sharks later on in this show. We got guys like Logan Couture is playing very well in the minors. And
we're seeing Jamie McGinn firsthand.
And Jamie McGinn's doing well with the big club. He's certainly making it very tough for the coaches to want to send him back down. So I can definitely see how, you know, if Doug Wilson is looking to, you know, throw some pieces around, you look at guys that maybe came out of nowhere like Ben Ferriero and Jamie McGinn, even if you want to go that far, and some of these other guys, and maybe they can turn that into a number two defenseman. Is that really possible?
He's got guys, you know, we're talking about restricted free agents next year. You know, it's a big year as far as, you know, with Marleau and Nabokov coming up for unrestricted.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Pavelski. He's got Setoguchi,
yeah,
you know, to deal with. You know, he's going to have to make a decision as far as, you know, is he going to be able to pay those guys and Marleau and Nabokov? The answer is no.
Yeah.
He can't do it. So, you know, do you take a guy, you know, out of that top six mix because you've got a player like Malhotra who's proven that he can slide up, you know, and then you've got McGinn who really is more of a top six, and you've got Logan Couture who's just killing the AHL right now, but we'll get to him later. You trade a proven commodity to get, and we're not talking about adding somebody, you know, off the scrap heap. I don't want Paul Mara to come like rolling in here.
Yeah.
You know,
I see what you mean.
We need somebody who's going to make an immediate impact on this team, dude.
Right. So anybody you were thinking of, I read a lot of hockey blogs. I saw something, although it was to an Eastern Conference team, but the Oilers said, maybe, or I heard a rumor, Oilers are maybe looking to deal Sheldon Surrey.
And that's exactly the type of player that I think that they should be monitoring. Now, I don't know if I like the term of Surrey's deal, but I think the conditions that Wilson should be looking for are guys who are signed beyond next year,
right,
at least for another year. You know, because we've seen what happens when the Sharks trade for unrestricted, right?
Right. Bill Guerin, Brian Rocks. Campbell.
Rocks.
Yeah.
And they signed Rive, but then they turned him into, you know, turning him into, you know, creating the space for Dan Boyle.
That's
essentially
right. Mm-hmm.
So they should be looking for guys who are under contract for at least another year, at least one more year. So I'm looking at someone like Thomas Cabrera.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking
good luck
at,
with that.
Okay.
Isn't he leading all defensemen in points right
now?
Well,
sure. But, you know, if the Leafs are looking to improve their team for the future, because I don't even think Brian Burke's that delusional to think that they're going to, you know, win the cup this year.
I hope not.
He knows that, you know, it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you Klo and something.
Right.
Know? So, you know, are you willing to pay that price? You know, are you willing to take the risk on a player like Surrey? You know, a player that I think we talked about a little bit in passing the other day is, what if Florida goes in the dumper and the Sharks make a play for Brian McCabe?
Yeah, Brian McCabe was once the crown jewel of the Toronto Maple Leafs defensive core, although I'm not quite sure what that phrase means. But Brian McCabe once certainly led the NHL in defensive points. I think he had over 60 points one year. So Brian McCabe definitely was an elite defenseman in this league, and maybe he could slide into that number two spot a little bit. It's going to be interesting because, you know, that seems to be the spot where the Sharks really could use somebody, right?
Would you be interested in Roman Hamrlich?
I don't know if Roman Hamrlich really the number two.
Well, do we need a number two, or do we just need another really good guy to play in? He's a top four.
Right.
Former number one pick in the entire NHL.
The thing that troubles me about a guy maybe like Roman Hamrlich is that when you're looking to get a guy like that, and when you're looking to get really anybody, especially defense, and a run, and you're a good team, like obviously the Sharks are, and you want to shore up for the playoffs, well, other teams are going to make that trade costly for you. They're not going to... you're not going to get a Joe Thornton deal where you're going to be able to just steal away a great defenseman for a cup run. So they're going to make you pay. So the question is, you're going to give up a lot for Roman Hamrlich. Is he going to be appreciably better than the guy he's going to supplant in the lineup, you know, Vlasic or Blake? Is Roman Hamrlich a huge step up over Vlasic or Blake? Because you're giving up value. You're going to be giving up somebody else, either a good draft pick or a player or something, to get this guy. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm doing a quick check on the numbers here. You know, Roman Hamrlich is, I believe, in the top 10 in the entire NHL in block shots.
Wow.
So, you know, he's actually number 7. So, and you know, while Vlasic is in the top 20, you know, you're getting a guy who's already blocked, you know, 15, 20 more shots than Vlasic.
Mm-hmm.
So he seems to be getting into the mix a little bit more. You know, he's not incredibly physical, but I don't know. Maybe an improvement, dude.
All right. Well, all that and more, you can call us at 1-800-516-1220 to weigh in on this discussion. We're almost at the top of the hour. Next hour, we're going to have Mark Smith talking to us around 9:15. Might have a little bit of Sharks trivia contest. All that and more Chomp Talk on KDOW AM 1220.
Join us as Santa Clara men's basketball begins its third season under head coach Kerry Keating. Last year's West Coast Conference Newcomer of the Year guard Kevin Foster leads the way for a talented young Broncos squad. The schedule features home games against the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, Pacific, the Cable Car Classic, and an always tough West Coast Conference lineup, including Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and Portland. Catch all the action live right here on AM 1220 KDOW, the Bay Area's business leader. Broncos season tickets are now on sale. To buy or for more information, visit SantaClaraBroncos.com or call 408-554-4660, 408-554-4660, and go Broncos!
Welcome back to the Chomp Talk radio program here on AM 1220 KDOW. I'm Mike Petty alongside Doug Santana. We're filling in this week for Chaitin Chaudhary, who's out of the country on business. Actually, he's not out of the country. He's just out of the county.
Wow, you made that sound so even more exciting.
I know, it gets so exciting. But actually, we're lucky enough to be joined by San Jose Mercury News columnist Mark Purdy, who managed to call in after I believe he was actually traveling over the weekend, so... Mark, thanks for joining us on Chomp Talk. We really appreciate you making the time.
No worries. Don't call yourself lucky, please.
Hey, Mark.
I'm just here Sunday night at home, ready for obnoxious opinions on demand.
Fantastic.
That makes three of us.
You're right. I had to go to one of the worst places on earth over the weekend, to Ruston, Louisiana, to cover a San Jose State football game. And... Man, I earned my money this weekend, let me tell you that.
Hey, Mark.
Worst of all, apparently there's no hockey in Ruston, Louisiana. So I was looking for something to do Friday night before the San Jose State Louisiana Tech football game, and it turns out no hockey in Ruston. Go figure.
I never would have expected that.
No, really.
Mark, how much food did you eat there that begins with chicken fried?
Everything was fried. You have it pegged right. Everything was fried. And everything had, extra cheese on it, too.
Excellent. So, my wife is from Mississippi, so I'm going for a Southern Christmas this year. We're not having turkey, we're having frog's legs.
Yeah, there are certain charms to it, but, it's good to be back home. Let me just say that.
Well, let's get down to talking about some winning hockey. Well, I guess not this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed the game last night, by the way. I understand it was a pretty cool game, huh?
It was a good game, really intense. Unfortunately, we were on the wrong end of it, but I want to talk to you a little bit about as far as your overall impression of the Sharks team, just this first 31 games of the season. Like, what kind of grade would you give them, and why should we believe that they're not going to break our hearts?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? I mean, I have this impression that probably, maybe 10, 20 years from now, there will be people who sit in sports bars and say, that was the golden era of Sharks hockey. They were having these great regular seasons, because every night you'd show up at the arena and during the regular season and see a really good hockey game, in some fashion. But because the playoff performances have been, so disappointing, everybody couldn't really enjoy the regular season in the same fashion as maybe another city, because we know what's waiting at the end of the regular season, which is this angst-ridden, horrible feeling of doom. It was really odd, approaching the season, trying to figure out how to portray this to the people who I hope pay to read my column. But that's a roundabout way of getting to what I want to say, which is that, being in that locker room these first, 20, 30 games, I get a real sense like it's not a happy, go happy-go-lucky, let's show up at the rink and have some fun boys kind of team. This team is more of, okay, well, we got to show up, we got to do this, and, let's grind our way into to April. And it was really interesting when I was in town the other night when they can I say urinated away? Urinated away.
You just did.
Yeah, urinated away the game to St. Louis. And wasn't that really interesting how Evgeny Nabokov basically called out Marc-Edouard Vlasic, which would never have happened in previous seasons. But I think that's kind of, shows you the difference in the locker room this year versus last year. Now, publicly, the goalie called out a defenseman for not laying down and blocking a shot, which clearly he should have done. I mean, even more clearly, they never should have been at that end of the rink to begin with. But, you know, and that, there's a little extra edge to the locker room this year, I just sense. And bringing in some of these guys on the third and fourth line, Scott Nichol, and I've become a big fan of Manny Malhotra. You know, I really like that guy. You know, bringing in those guys has brought a little different flavor in there. And, we all know now for a fact, right, nothing that happens in the regular season really, really, really does matter as long as you are qualifying for the playoffs. And this team is going to qualify for the playoffs. And what they learn along the way is going to influence and inform what happens in the playoffs. Meanwhile, you've got this other weird thing going on, which is, and I'm sorry for too long here, but I'm operating about 2 hours sleep. Okay.
And some chicken fried subs.
Yeah, and way too much fried food and hush puppies, right? But with this Olympics thing thrown in, right? And all these guys are trying to make the Olympic teams of their respective countries. So they're all, like, playing really hard to make impressions. I firmly believe that. And so that's a real different dynamic than I think I've ever seen in a Shark locker room. And unfortunately, I've been around since year one. You know, I'm a really old guy, and I was here when the team wasn't a team. But it's fascinating to look at. It's fascinating to watch. And, don't tell anybody. You won't tell anybody, will you? But I wasn't that unhappy that the 49ers lost today, because that will let me write more about hockey in January.
That's sweet.
Okay? You know, so it's fascinating to watch, and I'm really curious to see how it all ends. And, each game is kind of a little chapter in this unfolding saga.
All right, so since this isn't your first rodeo, and you've seen this kind of thing before, this edge that you mentioned, this difference in...
You guys disagree or not?
No, I'm not privy to the locker room, so I'm definitely interested in this revelation. And so the obvious next question for me is that a good thing? Is that a good thing that this edge exists?
Look, the ultimate answer is we'll find out in April, right?
Right.
I've seen it the other way, where it's like, hey, we're winning, we're got the best record in the league, where we go, and you know what? All those guys are good guys, and I really do respect them. I respect anybody that laces up their skates in a National Hockey League game, because that's really, if anybody, I know your listeners go to games, anybody, watches and gets down close, especially, that's like one of the most remarkable things imaginable, to put your skates on the ice and go out there and be ready to have be knocked down at any time and all that. So I respect all those guys. But before, it's been like, hey, we're rolling, let's go. And last season was with Todd McClellan, because he comes out of the box, hey, we're going to play this new way where we get a lot of shots from the back end on the defense up at the point. We're going to shoot the puck like crazy, and it all worked, and they had the best record in the league, and everybody's like, cool. And then they get to the playoffs, and we all know what happened. You almost see the look in Todd's eyes, like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand.
Right.
But what was he supposed to do last year when they're playing the way he wants and they're winning all these games? Is he supposed to say, like, hey, guys, don't get cocky, don't get overconfident, April's coming, because he had never been through before. Now he understands it, and some of his remarks after these recent games have been really intriguing to me, where he says, I'm not that unhappy that some of our guys are calling out other guys. They're holding each other accountable. And before it was kind of like, whatever, shrug your shoulders, let's move on to the next game. And it is a long and growing season, but I just found out, and here's my plug. I hope the readers of the Mercury News and MercuryNews.com will be happy to know I'll be covering the Olympics in Vancouver. So
congratulations, fantastic.
I'm really curious to see, because we're going to have a lot of, like, teal, white, and blue, the maple teal leaf and all that. We're gonna have a lot of Shark players on there, and I'm really curious to see how that all mixes into this whole deal. What was your question? At the end of the day, I mean, you hate to say it, guys, right? But, you know, what happens in December almost has nothing to do with what happens.
So it doesn't even matter if they're happy or sad.
Well,
it is what it is.
No, no. I mean, but if they're holding the play, you know, the way you do in the play, I mean, because we'll know if a playoff situation comes up where they're shorthanded and they've got a power, you know, where they've got a power play and the other team's shorthanded in the last minute. And, you know, if they learn, you don't give up, and maybe they learned something from this the other night.
Now, let's skip past all the good stuff like the playoffs and the winning the Stanley Cup, and let's jump to next offseason when we've got Patrick Marleau and Evgeny Nabokov coming up unrestricted. So can you look into your Mark Purdy crystal ball, because I know you have one, and tell me, are both these guys coming back? Would you sign Marleau now, or do you wait? Or do you not bring him back at all?
No, I wait. I wait. I mean, you guys have your finger on it in that, you know, this is kind of a watershed kind of deal. You know, this may be the last team where we, you know, just comes down. Hockey, we all know, why do we love hockey, right? Because it's so weird, and because of the time and space and the speed and all that stuff.
The Zamboni.
Another thing about weird about hockey is, right, so do you pay a guy based on what he does in the regular season or what he does in the playoffs? Because the funny part is, in the playoffs, they actually don't get paid. I mean, they don't get paid. They get paid, you know, very small amounts for winning each playoff round. They make money in the regular season. It's when they really make their paychecks. So, and yet they are paid based on the playoffs when they don't make any money. Or, you know what I'm saying? So it's a very odd dynamic. I sit and wait because I don't. You have it pegged right. I don't think they can probably pay both those guys. But which one would you pay? Declare right now.
I pick Marleau.
I'd pick Dion Phaneuf.
Well, to be honest with you, do you like Thomas Greiss that much?
I like Alex Stalock.
Okay, but you know, I mean, goalies are not. I mean, look at the monster Gustafsson in Toronto. Did you see this latest thing?
Yeah, it's got the heart.
You know, he's going to have heart surgery. You know, and this was a guy in the offseason. A lot of Shark fans said, "Got to get this guy. He's a great." And goalies are very fragile, weird things. And so, if Nabokov has a really good season, I try to lock him up.
Mark, thanks for the time. We got to let you go.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I thought we were just getting started.
we'll have to bring you back another time, but this is great. Thanks for making the time. Thanks for calling in. I know you're tired and you've been traveling.
You can tell, can't you?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
But hey, listen, anytime, guys.
Thanks a lot,
you know,
Mark.
I was a proud member of one of the original 22 in the NHL.
That's right. That's right. Mark Purdy,
you know,
everybody.
Stick together. Okay, be good.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Chomp Talk on KDOW AM 1220. We'll be back.
AM 1220 KDOW. Take it into the streets. You've asked us to bring you more market analysis and more timely updates. And we've heard you loud and clear. That's why we are pleased to welcome Ray Lucia to our weekday lineup.
So you just can't hang your hat on every single economic report. My suspicion is the bulk of the recession is behind us, and I must remind you that if you invest money at the trough of a recession, 1 year later, on average, you're up 32%. Does that help you out?
I never knew that. That helps me a great deal. You and that brain trust are the most truly dedicated, highly motivated financial planning people in the world, okay?
Thank you very much.
I've been listening to you for a long time. You guys are great, all right?
KDOW is Ray Lucia. Weekday mornings at 9 on the Bay Area's business leader, AM 1220 KDOW.
When the wolves from the credit card company come knocking at your door, it takes a toll on everyone. The associates of the Debt Relief Desk want you to know you don't have to do this alone. In 1 5-minute free consultation, you can discover how debt negotiation can work to relieve the burden of overwhelming credit debt or medical bills. Get a professional debt negotiator to stand between you and your creditors. The Debt Relief Desk. Relief starts here. Call today. 800-375-1165. 800-375-1165.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call at 1-800-729-9824. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers. Call 1-800-729-9824. That's 1-800-729-9824.
Welcome back to Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW. I'm Mike Petty, that's Doug Santana.
Dude,
it's Dudes on Hockey on Chomp Talk this week. And Chasen Chaudhary's out on business, so we're taking over for 2 hours. But we're one guest to the next, back to back, mark to mark. We had Mark Purdy in the last segment. This one, very pleased to have Mark Smith. Former Shark, played 377 games in the National Hockey League. Still a resident of the local Bay Area, now joining us. Mark, thank you so much for coming on Chomp Talk.
Yeah, sweet, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's been awesome. It's funny, I just ran into him, you know, at a local place in the Bay Area. It's awesome to have Mark Smith. You know, he gives us a lot of interesting takes on how this Sharks team is going. You're watching a lot of these Sharks games. You're really paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah, you know, I'm there. I'm watching. It's a little difficult, you know.
Yeah.
I still like to be out there and seeing, but you know, I got a lot of friends still on this team and follow these guys pretty closely. So,
well, maybe you can fill us in and the rest of the Sharks faithful on what you've been up to since I know your last season with the Sharks was 2007. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened with you? What's been going on? You know, both with hockey and everything else since then.
Yeah, actually, well, I went up to Calgary and played up there, and actually ended up towards the end of the season, kind of hurting my neck, and finished off the season up there, not playing. Came back down here and did a bunch of rehab, and really things weren't getting too much better, not really progressing. So. Kind of just, you know, still been treating it and hoping it's going to get better, but it's really kind of kept me out of the game. So, living here in San Jose, and my wife actually opened a boutique down in Campbell, and I've been helping her along with that and just raising a family here in the Bay Area and, you know, trying to keep busy and keep my mind off hockey as much as I can because it's still a little sour.
Yeah, it's a little tough seeing the guys out there, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, it's I can't complain. You know, I had a good career for a guy that was never supposed to make it anywhere, you know. Stuck around for a little bit and, you know, had a lot of great experiences and, you know, really found a home here in the Bay Area and I'm happy to call it my home.
You were an extremely effective third line player in the NHL, and that's the kind of role that the Sharks were really missing last season. Now this year, you know, they added guys like Nickel, Malhotra, and Ortmeier. Now, in your opinion, is that type of player a nice thing to have on a good team, or is that type of player an essential type of player for playoff success?
Definitely, you know, that kind of role is, I would say it's very underrated. You know, you see these guys come into the playoffs, and those are really guys who, you know, dictate series going one way or another. I kind of, you know, the games, those playoff series are won, I think, by, you know, second and third line. I mean, your first line is going to be there. They're going to score big goals, and that's, you're going to need them to do that to carry you through rounds of playoffs. But, I mean, it's guys, the second and third line guys, who shut those guys down. So if they do their job and shut down the top lines, that's going to make it a lot easier for the team to go to the next round. And it's a game that's played with emotion. And you know those guys have a job because 90% of their game is based on emotion. And you know, they're the guys that bring the team up and take the roller coaster to the top and give it that little push to put it on the tracks pretty much and that's a very important thing. It's especially in a game that's just built on emotion and momentum.
Yeah, cool. Trying to understand the code a little bit. We know that you were chuck the knuckles a little bit now and again. There was a moment a couple games ago against Edmonton where a rookie tough guy took a run at Joe Thornton, hit him in the back on the delay call. The Sharks ended up scoring, so it wasn't a penalty. But then shortly thereafter, he sort of stuck a knee out at Danny Heatley, and then he hit Joe again, and no sort of retaliation came. Can you talk about how a score like that might be settled? Is the fact that the Sharks just ended up scoring a goal in that situation enough? Or could we expect some extracurriculars maybe the next time the Sharks face the Oilers later on this season?
Well, definitely, you know, a guy like that, especially young guy, comes in and, you know, he's trying to make a name for himself and run into guys. And definitely you got to take the – I mean, that's the hardest part about being a guy like that, like an enforcer kind of role. You got to know when to pick your spot because you don't want to do something that's going to hurt the team. And if you do, I guarantee where you're playing X game up in a section 125 with the hot dog vendors. So, I mean, it's you know, it's very touchy, but definitely, you know, I'm positive guys are taking numbers and seeing what's going on there because, I mean, it's a situation you kind of everyone's different and you see that happening. I mean, if blatantly someone's doing something to one of your star players, then it's immediate, you know. You go out there and you say, look, this ends now, and this is it. The severity of it, you know, it's, you don't want to let stuff like that slide and open the door for someone else to come in and do that. So, I mean, it's tough, and that's why that's that position, you know, the role of guys like Shelley and you know, Nickel and guys like this that are playing this kind of roles, it's a tough situation to be in, and you really got to know when to pick your spot, but I guarantee that they know who that was, and the next time they come to town, they're going to be telling them early in game, don't be pulling any of that, or it's curtain for you.
It's lights out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's a little nemesis brewing there, because I know that some of these players, you see, we saw a recurrence between Joe Thornton and Matt Cook a couple times. We saw, it seemed like maybe Douglas Murray and Ginla maybe, or Murray's trying to stir a little animosity there. Did you have a nemesis in the NHL, a guy that maybe you fought in juniors like Thornton fought Cook, and then every time you saw him, you had to give him a lecture or something?
Oh, yeah, I had more than a handful of those kind of guys.
care to share? Of course, you know, this is, you know,
I mean,
we're all friends
every
here.
Team you play.
Yeah.
Especially the kind of role that I played, I looked on the roster and know, okay, I'm going to have a tough night tonight because I hate this guy. We battle every time. And, you know, one guy that was a nemesis for me my whole career was the guy Sean Avery, you know?
Yeah, just
pretty
that
much
guy.
Every time, because we were such similar players, I hate to say it, but we kind of were same kind of role kind of players. And, you know, like when you go against a guy head on like that, you know it's your job to step up and be better than him so the other guys in your team can be better than the guys that they're matched up against. So
he's got a mouth, that one.
What's that?
He's got a bit of a mouth, I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple of interesting things to say, I'm sure, in the course of your...
Oh, yeah, we had some nice pleasantries out there. You know, asked him how the weather was and such. But,
of course.
You know, I think we threw down on three or four different occasions. And, you know, I don't want to pump any tires here, but, you know, he was pretty quiet a couple times when he was playing us. Just let us put it that way.
I'm sure a lot of people in the NHL will thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, he's probably not one of the guys that is too well, like, on the ice. But, hey, fans love to watch him play and love to hear the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you know, and that's what sells the game. It's unfortunate, you know, there's no such thing as bad press.
I know that last year Scott Nickel and probably the mismatch of the year fought Joe Thornton in a game, and how quick does something like that get, that can you bury the hatchet with Nickel coming over? Do they just have a good laugh about something like that, or, you know, obviously they have to put it behind them, right?
Well, yeah, you know, definitely, but I think it was just kind of the point where Joe was just kind of fed up and say, okay, look, quit coming around. You know, it's like a fly when you're trying to sleep, you know. Just, I mean, that's Nickel's job, and he did his job, and I mean, now Joe, you know, I'm sure that's water under the bridge. You know, you're playing the same team now, and they have a chuckle about it. I mean, I'm sure there's rivalries like that when guys get traded that it's still pretty on edge around the dressing room, I'm sure, but I think those two guys are pretty honest players as far as things go, and I'm quite certain that they're not holding a grudge, boys.
Now, we've seen this year the Sharks have had what we're referring to as the Worcester shuttle, as far as, you know, guys coming back and forth. They're here for a game, then they go back, they fly back to Boston, they fly back. You know, how much of a tax is that on a player physically and emotionally to be sort of dragged back and forth? I think we've seen Logan Couturier made the round trip flight, I think, 6 times so far this year. Can you give us an insight on what kind of impact that has on a young player, or is it maybe we're overblowing it?
No, actually, I can speak from experience here. I think it was my first or second year. I didn't have a very good game the day before All-Star break, and the team had 2 days off, and I ended up going in a meeting with Daryl Sutter right after the game, and he's like, you know what? Not very happy with you. I'm sending you down for 2 days, and then you're coming back, and we're calling you back. So I had to fly out the next morning, like 5 a.m, all the way to Providence, play in Providence. I got to the airport, got in a taxi, got to miss a warm-up, played in Providence, got on a bus, drove 8 hours to Hershey, played that game, got on another plane, and came back. And I mean that.
Wow.
When you're going back and forth, East Coast to West Coast, I mean, that's taxing on a guy's body, you know. It doesn't matter how good a shape you're in, it's going to affect you. And but I tell you what, the plane ride out west is a lot easier than the plane ride out east. A lot better when you're coming up than going down, boys.
Yeah. I'm sure. Did they fly you? Oh, we had a question earlier in the show. Do they fly you first class?
Not a chance. Well, maybe coming up, but not on the way back. On the way back.
Coming up, they fly first class?
You're lucky if you're on a plane. You might be on the bus.
Bus to Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, one thing, you know, the question about the Sharks is obviously the playoffs when they went to the conference finals. Are there any lessons that you learned from that year, or even just a feeling in the room or a makeup of the team or whatever it is, or maybe it's just luck? Is there something that this current Shark squad can benefit from that or learn from that? And do you think they have what it takes? It's just that simple, I guess.
Definitely, you know, you got to learn from your mistakes. And you know what? You need a lot of luck to win too. The stars have to align. You got to stay off injuries, and that comes into play a huge. And the stars do have to align, but I don't know. You know what? If you had the answer,
that's right.
Rich man, right?
If they could bottle it, yeah, everyone would buy it.
I mean, obviously the Sharks are going to be a great team. They have enough talent to be successful every night, you know, 60-70%. And that's going to get them to the playoffs, probably home ice, but I mean, you just kind of you want to believe and but the thing it comes down to it is leadership. And you know what, like, these guys, they have, like, guys like Thornton and Marlowe, I mean, they're unbelievable players. They've proved themselves so they can score goals. They can, you know, make an impact. But the one thing that they don't have on their resume is winning the Stanley Cup. And I mean, you go look at guys in the past like Mark Messier, you know. This is a guy who was successful in different organizations. He's a bona fide leader, okay? If there's one guy that can lead a team, you should look probably at Mark Messier. And I know he was not very kind to people in the dressing room, you know, and he called guys out, and he told them how it was, and he said, look, you better follow me because I'm bringing it every game. And, I mean, is that what you need to win? I don't know. It worked for him. Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of got to look at, you know, winners aren't always nice guys. And that's all I have to say about that.
True enough. So I guess I got to ask the question. That leads us into the question about Patrick Marleau, right? He was wearing the C last year, not wearing it this year. Speaking as a fan of the game and a person that follows the Sharks really closely, obviously a lot of hullabaloo was made about that in the fan community. And you know, we see stuff on the jersey and we think it's really important. You know, how disruptive do you think that might have been to the team, or was it disruptive at all when they decided to move the captaincy to somebody else, to Rob Blake in this case? And Well, you know, is it a bigger deal than maybe we made it out to be?
I think it is. I really do. I mean, for Patty, you know, you could tell that C was weighing him down. And he couldn't be the player that, you know, some guys are better, you know, with, you know, just coming to the rink and playing, and they can bring a lot more to the table. And I'm not saying that Patty is a bad captain. I mean, he led this team, you know, to one of the best years, probably the best year that they've ever had, right?
That's right.
I mean, so something happens in the playoffs, you know, and the whole city's all over him and stuff, and the weight of the world comes crashing down on a guy. You know what? It's sometimes just a relief to get that off your chest. And, I mean, look at the year the guy's having.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it on his face. He's having a more enjoyable time out there. He's playing, like, every game hard and having fun without a care, you know. And, I mean, that could have been the best thing. Well, I think it was one of the best things for him. You know what? He's definitely learned from this experience. And, you know, down the road, he gets in that situation again. He's going to go into it with eyes wide open. And for the Sharks, you know, I think it was a good move. They just needed a little. Sometimes you just need a little change in the way you look at things. And I mean, it's been working so far. And Rob Blake, you know, is a great leader too. You know, he's won cups, and if there's a guy that, I mean, they got a lot of leaders on this team, so it's not just one guy. But
it's not just about laundry, but you know, it is a symbolic move. That's for sure.
It is symbolic, and you know, it's kind of what a man's made of when he gets kicked in the teeth a little bit, you know. What are you made of, you know? Are you going to go cower in the corner, or are you going to go out there and prove everyone wrong? And you know what? That's, to me, that's what a leader's made out of as well. And Patty Marleau was definitely showing it this year, you know. Yeah. He got kicked a little bit and comes out, and he could just roll over and die, but look at the year he's having, you know. So that goes to show about his leadership right there.
Hey, Mark, I want to ask you a little bit about junior hockey, which is something for American fans here a lot of people are unfamiliar with, being a star for the Lethbridge Hurricanes. I'm looking here at your final year. You had 109 points, 206 penalty minutes. Monster year.
That's a year, baby. That is a year.
That is a good year. Can you explain junior hockey to the fans as far as how does that work? Do you go to school when you're playing juniors? You know, you're living with a host family. I guess we kind of equate it to minor league baseball here in a way, but...
Right, yeah. It's, well, when you go to these smaller little cities, you know, 70,000, 100,000, and they're all kind of pegged over Canada. And, I mean, these cities embrace you like an NHL star, right? And you go, it has nothing to do with school. It's not affiliated whatsoever. So you go to school and you do your schooling, and then you go to the rink right after school for practice every day. So, I mean, you go on a road trip for a week and you miss a lot of school, and come to say, teachers they either love you or they hate you, right? But, I mean, you're a tiny little celebrity, and it's a real good stepping stone, I think, for moving into pro because it's kind of got the same basis, the same formula, and it really prepares guys to how it's going to be at the next level. And... You have a curfew every night, but they do treat you, you know, with a lot of discipline. You know, you're still a kid. You can play when you're 16 years to 20, right? So that's the age group that you're looking at. But it's a real good stepping stone, and some of my best experiences were in that league. That year right there, boys, that was a fun year for me. Probably the most fun I've ever had playing. So
yeah, that's a statistical year that I would love to see on any player anytime.
any game you can go into and think that you know what, I got a good chance of getting a couple points in a fight tonight.
Yeah,
that's always good to go to the rim feeling like that. And you know what, you might win that fight. That's even better because 4 years before that, I had a lot of fights, but not too many I won.
Even better. Well, yeah. Mark, it's been great having you on the show.
That's why I wanted to do it so much.
Mark, it's been great having you on the show. Former Shark Mark Smith. It's been awesome.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate the time. It's been awesome.
All right. Yeah, take it easy, guys, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Mark.
Late on.
Bye.
Wow. That was great. I really learned a lot there from Mark Smith.
Hey, great guy.
Yeah.
Honest.
Yeah.
Up front. And, you know, it's something, you know, I think we're going to ask him a little bit about, you know, why he isn't playing hockey anymore. And he was pretty upfront about that from the beginning. It seems like he'd really like to still be out there on the ice.
Right.
And if you look at his last season in Calgary, I didn't know that he had a neck injury. He was pretty effective playing, you know, pretty good. You know, he played 54 games. He had 59 penalty minutes. He was playing that sort of Mark Smith brand of hockey. And I hope that if he still wants to play, I hope that he can get his neck injury figured out, because obviously he's a great guy.
Yeah, great guy, great player. We got to have him back on the show at some point, because it's good to have a guy a little bit outside the rink, you know, giving you the straight dope on what is really the deal with this, with professional hockey and with the Sharks.
I am proud to call him Dude.
As am I. Fellow dudes, thanks for listening so far to Dudes on Hockey on Chomp Talk. We got more show to go.
What's the number, dude?
It's 1-800-516-1220. Please call in and get your take on the Sharks, the NHL, Mark Smith, Mark Purdy even. And we will talk to you again in just a couple of minutes. Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW.
Nothing succeeds like success, and when these folks wanted to lose weight, they turned to the proven system, Judy Singer's The Meta System.
On The Meta System, I lost 10 pounds the first week, and overall, I think it was 12 weeks, I lost 46 pounds.
Over the past 3 months, I've lost approximately 47 pounds.
With The Meta System, I lost 50 pounds.
It's done phenomenally well with me, because I lost 25 pounds and went down about 4 dress sizes, so I mean, I feel great.
The Meta System is not another fad diet. It's a customized weight loss program with a long track record of success. You'll work with your own personal counselor who will guide you, support you, and design an all-natural program that will work for you. You'll be amazed and delighted with the results. Start losing those extra pounds the all-natural way with The Meta System. Call 1-800-711-JUDY. That's Judy Singer's The Meta System at 1-800-711-JUDY.
The November election results prove that America is ready to hear straight talk about the issues that matter. Glenn Beck's new book, Arguing with Idiots, debunks myths about everything from imagination to healthcare. And you can get Glenn Beck's book free with a subscription to Town Hall Magazine. Each month's edition is loaded with must-read stories about the conservative movement in America. It makes a great gift. For Glenn Beck's book free with your subscription, log on to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
If you're planning on retiring early in the new year, now is the time to apply for retirement benefits. And the most convenient way to apply for Social Security benefits is online, from the comfort of your own home or office. It's so easy, you can apply in as little as 15 minutes. So, if you want to start the new year as a retiree, or plan to start collecting benefits early in the new year, apply online today at www.socialsecurity.gov/apply-online.
Welcome back to the Chomp Talk radio program. This is a special Dudes on Hockey on Chomp Talk episode with myself, Mike Petty, and Doug Santana across from me.
Dude.
We're taking over for Chaitin Chaudhary. He's out of the county, out of the state, dare I say, on business.
Wherever he is, he's not here tonight.
He's not here tonight. We're talking Sharks hockey, NHL hockey for a couple hours. Phone lines are open, 1-800-516-1220. A couple great interviews in the last two segments with Mark Purdy and ex-Shark Mark Smith. Now we're here to take your calls. Let's go to John in San Jose. John, what is up?
Hey, how's it going? This is John Swenson.
Hey,
oh,
John.
Hey, John.
John Swenson, of course, from SharksPage.com, which might be the best Sharks blog on the internet. So, John, thank you for joining. Well, DudesOnHockey.com isn't bad, but SharksPage is pretty damn good.
Second best.
John, what's up?
Well, I got a question. You know, are you guys after the, you know, three wins, three losses in the last 16 games, but there's been a lot of ups and downs. I'm just wondering, are you guys worried after the blowout loss to Chicago, the kind of up and down against Edmonton, and then St. Louis and Calgary? I mean, does that give you guys confidence? What do they have to work on moving forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I was thinking about this earlier because, you know, there's two schools of thought here. One is that nothing matters until April. And the other is that, well, every game matters a lot. And when we lose 7-2 to Chicago, then the sky is falling and we got to trade everybody. And if there's a way to tread the middle ground, I like to tread it. Of course, it's not great that we lose to Chicago and we lose to, you know, Calgary. But the thing is, on the same token, we're still in December. You know, we're still, you know, months and months away. A lot of things can change between now. Mentioned earlier in the show, maybe a trade could happen for the Sharks. Who knows? You know, dude, what's your take on this?
I think the thing that's been disturbing to me is the amount of shorthanded chances and goals allowed in the last 2 weeks. I mean, last night, Calgary didn't score a shorty, but they had plenty of chances to make that happen. I think, you know, John, were you at the game last night?
Yeah.
Were you disappointed in the Sharks' effort? Do you think it just didn't roll their way?
Well, I have to agree with some of the players and the analysts who said it was a playoff-type atmosphere. I mean, I was in the corner taking pictures when Kiprusoff made that kick save.
Yeah.
Everyone was standing up. We thought it was in, and, you know, it was just an amazing save on the replay.
Save of the year, somebody said, yeah. I think.
But the thing is, you know, you're going to win, you're going to lose some of those close games. For me, I think they could go on a 10-game win streak or a 20-game point streak again, but you're going to point to that Chicago loss and say, we could do it again. You know, that's what Chicago's going to say. So I think you got to send a message. And I think one player last night said, we got to become a nastier place to play at home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the points are great. The regular season wins are great. You know, maybe even a President's Trophy would be great. But I think it's the team identity you got to work on.
Yeah.
I think they came out with that attitude that, you know, Scott Nichol even said as much in the paper this morning that, you know, they were coming out with the mindset that they were going to dictate the physical play. They were going to really try and take it to Calgary. And like you said, you know, make this a tough place to play. And, you know, I thought it was pretty, you know, back and forth, even the whole game, exciting game. And unfortunately, you know, the final bounce didn't go their way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think taking that game alone, I would take that one out of the equation because I think if we played them again, it could be 2-1 Sharks the next time. But
yeah,
well, the matchup that's concerning to me is how we don't seem to match up very well against the Blackhawks at all.
I think you got to throw Calgary in there too because Phaneuf and Bowmeister, man, those guys were solid.
Yeah.
Then you have Bregeer just... I think in football they say deflated someone. He just crushed someone right in the corner there. Man, those are two teams that match up on the blue line. The Sharks have got to be a little bit wary of.
Yeah, certainly. I think Calgary can certainly stand with anybody in the NHL right now in terms of defensive prowess. But you know, Douglas Murray had a pretty successful game in neutralizing Jerome Iginla. And this is a question that we've had for a long time about Calgary. Do they have enough scoring depth? Sure, maybe they can keep you to one or two goals, but if they can't score any, they're still going to lose games. So that's still my question about Calgary. Kiprusoff put an all-world performance, a Finnish Olympic team performance, shall we say, last night. But, you know, I still wonder about Calgary. That's why I'm with Doug. I think, you know, Chicago is a little bit more dangerous because they have that blue line with Duncan Keith and Brian Campbell and all that stuff. But they also got Patrick Kane and Marian Hossa and all these guys who can score. You know, these are the two matchups in the West that everybody's looking forward to, you know, for the rest of the year. And I hope the Sharks don't draw the short straw and get them in the first round or something.
Well, it's funny how we're not even talking about Detroit, are we?
No, we're not.
Well, they're going to get healthy at the end. I mean, isn't that like waking up in cold sweats nightmare that we're going to draw Detroit as the unlucky eight?
Oh, God. Please don't say that.
Come on, dude.
It's too early in the year to say that.
I got one other question for you guys, and I'll take it off air. I know you guys have been examining the waiver wire. Do you think the up and down Worcester shuttle is economic related, or... are they trying to get guys in on one day and off on another day for salary cap reasons? Or, you know, how do you guys explain it?
I think it has to be. I think there's, you know, with a guy like Logan Couture, he's not going to be waiver eligible for a while. So it's not like they need to juggle him around in order to make sure that he doesn't have to clear waivers. He has to play 60 or 80 games in the National Hockey League before he's going to be subject to waivers. So I think it's purely... purely a salary cap deal. And we asked Mark Smith about it. You know, he says it takes its toll on players. And we see Logan Couture still putting up a monster year with the Baby Sharks. So, yeah, I think, it's a few thousand dollars a day. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but a few thousand dollars a day is still a few thousand dollars a day. And over the course of the season, it could be several hundred thousand. And is that the difference between getting a guy at the trade deadline and not? I guess we're going to try and find out.
I think I expected with Jay Leach coming now into the fold that maybe the defenseman juggling would stop because they have Jay Leach and they're still carrying Brad Staub. It's like, I mean, last night they had three healthy scratches, which was, I mean, the most.
First time all year, I think.
Well, I think in 2 years. I mean, when's the last time you remember having more than just seeing Semenov's name up there?
Oh.
You know? I mean, usually you just see one guy, if any at all. So I think it is economical, unfortunately.
That kind of leaves the question, when the salary cap isn't an issue in the playoffs, who do you guys have on the team?
Everybody. Black Aces, 45 guys traveling around. No,
who's on the ice?
Who's on the ice? I think almost the roster that the Sharks have been playing. I mean, I like Fraser McLaren. I think I might keep Fraser McLaren and maybe not Jody Shelley. You know, that's the big question. Jody Shelley, in my mind, you know, you keep Mitchell, you keep McGinn, you keep Ortmeier and Nickel. You know, I think that, you know, the only question right now for me is Shelley and McLaren and maybe one other fourth line spot.
Do you think Veshey or Ferriero or Couture could maybe sneak in the third or fourth line?
To be honest, I don't see any of those guys, frankly. But
I think Couture, and the way he's playing in the AHL right now with, 21 points in 14 games, he's showing he's a top six guy, and there's no top 6 minutes to be had.
Right, right. Well, John, thanks for the call.
Yep. Have a good show.
All right. Sharkspage.com, everybody. Check it out. It's a great Sharks blog. All right. Moving right along, dude. We got more callers.
Awesome.
Yeah. Isn't it great? We got Jerry in San Jose. Jerry, welcome to Chom Talk.
What up, dudes?
What's going on?
Dude.
How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. So I wanted to talk about Mark Edward Vlasic.
Uh-huh.
Now, Vlasic seems to have a reputation around the league as a solid defenseman, but whenever I watch him, he just seems so underwhelming. I mean, the better defensemen in the league seem to distinguish themselves by either being physical shutdown guys or they'd have some offensive savviness. But with Vlasic, he seems to have neither of these qualities. And at this point, Aline Wood seems to have more imposing these days.
Wow.
Granted, with a 3-iron in hand, but come on, Vlasic still got a hockey stick. But in all seriousness, I mean, so my first question is, am I missing something with Vlasic? Or, and my second question is, who do you think Doug Wilson is going to acquire to bolster our blue line? Because, Jay Leach is not going to cut it.
Well, that's kind of the hot button topic. I mean, we talked earlier about how the Sharks, top four defense is probably not up to snuff. And I think the one, that you're going to point at is possibly Vlasic. Now, who's somebody who might be on the radar for the Sharks? I mean, you got to think that it's a guy who is going to be able to play a physical game. He might, maybe someone who, are they looking for a puck mover? Are they looking for someone who's going to be able to bang the body? I throw out a name, somebody like Andy Sutton, former Shark,
former Shark
playing for the New York Islanders. That's not a sexy name, but he's kind of a Craig Revay type guy. Dude, what if we could get Craig Revay back?
I'd take it.
Jerry, would you like that?
Again, not sure, but
Jerry's underwhelmed with Craig Revay.
Jerry, who do you want?
Well, who do I want, or what's realistic?
Well, how about both?
I know you want Phaneuf. That's not realistic.
No.
Before Nashville went on their tear, which I don't know how that happened. I mean, Shea Weber would have been a guy I would have liked to have gone after.
Sure. Also not possible. But yeah. But
tell me, who do you think is realistic?
I'm gonna answer the Vlasic question.
Okay, dude. Okay.
Okay. I think Vlasic is resting a little bit on his laurels here. I think I agree with Jerry to a certain extent in that. This is a guy that broke into the National Hockey League, was playing regular minutes as an 18-year-old defenseman. There's not a lot of guys that do that ever, Drew Doughty notwithstanding. So he's resting a little bit on his laurels here. Maybe he's not growing as much as he was growing in the early years, but I think he's still a fairly decent shutdown defenseman. I mean, him and Scott Hannon, right? Scott Hannon wasn't a particularly physical guy. He wasn't a particularly offensive guy, but Scott Hannon got $4.5 million from the Colorado Avalanche because he's a good player. And I think Vlasic still has a little way to go to get to Scott Hannon, but I think he's almost in that conversation. So that's what I see in Vlasic. I can understand how those other deficiencies might get on a person's nerves. But
well, that contract to Hannon was a mistake. But but don't you look at Vlasic these days and go, is he that much better than a Ken Huskins? I mean,
Wow. You know, that's a tough question. You know, Ken Huskins was unfortunately not that great in the beginning of the year. And Vlasic, I think, you know, there's something to be said with consistency in defensemen. And I think that's the primary reason why Christian Ehrhoff is no longer on this team. When Christian Ehrhoff was good, he was great. But when he wasn't good, he was not good at all.
Yeah, Vancouver hasn't seen much of the not good Ehrhoff.
Right.
We're still waiting for the Mr. Hyde to come out in that situation.
So the consistency, there's something to be said, especially with defense. An offenseman, you can make a mistake 185 feet from your net and you're okay. If you make a mistake 20 feet in front of your net, it's in the net. So, you know, Vlasic is definitely a lot more consistent than a lot of these other guys, and I may say he's even more consistent than Huskins. But, Jerry, we got to let you go. Thanks so much for calling in.
I got to say, Mike, I'm with Jerry. You know, I traded Vlasic on NHL 10 on my PS3.
Did
I traded him to the Devils for Johnny Oduya.
Wow.
Yeah,
straight up.
Straight up.
Wow.
I don't regret it.
Good for you, dude. Okay, we got another caller, Johnny in Napa. Johnny, thanks for calling into Chomp Talk.
Hey, no problem, guys. I actually had questions along the same line as the last caller here. Just reading in on Kukla's Corner, and they're talking about Sunday morning trade rumors and the Rangers being a team that are, quote, beating the bushes for a top six forward.
Hmm.
Any defensemen you think could help this team? I know they got Mark Stahl. Who else do they have?
Oh, they've got a lot of good young defensemen there. They've got Matt Gilroy. They've got Michael Delzato. You know, if they wanted one of our top six forwards, you know, if they were looking at a guy, you know, they need an impact guy. They really need a center for Gabrick, someone who, you know, and then someone who you might, in fantasy terms, throw around somebody like Joe Pavelski might be able to help. Although he just maybe more like Chris Drury. You know, but Gabrick needs someone to play around with up there. So if they wanted someone like Setoguchi, it better cost them a pretty penny, Mike.
Michael Delzato?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who was an early Calder player. That's an interesting idea, Johnny. I appreciate that. You know, Wade Redden obviously is off the table because that's ridiculous, but you're right.
I wouldn't want Michael Roosevelt either.
I wouldn't mind Michael Roosevelt either. They hate him in New York, but... you know, that's interesting. I appreciate that question.
Food for thought.
Would you rather have Michael Delzato or Matt Gilroy, dude?
I think, gosh, that is really tough, dude.
Or Mark Stahl.
I think I would rather have, ooh, man, can I have all three?
No, you have to pick one, dude.
I'm going to go with Matt Gilroy.
Matt Gilroy,
yeah,
good call.
Yeah.
Johnny, thanks for the call. We're unfortunately out of time.
Dude, this was a lot of fun.
It was. It was a great two-hour version, hockey talk. You know, I could talk about hockey... you know.
For 2 hours?
At least. Anyway, thanks to everybody for making this happen. Thanks to Chafin Chaudhary for giving us the time to use. Thank you, dude.
Dude, it was my pleasure, and I will come back anytime you will have me.
Thanks to Rick Strauss on the board. This was Dudes on Hockey on Chomp Talk. You can find us at dudesonhockey.com. And we'll be back same schedule again next week here on AM 1220 KDOW.